This is On the Mark as we talk some basketball, Big Three style. Roger Mason Jr., who of course played in the NBA with the Bulls, the Raptors, the Wizards twice. He was a Spur, a Knick, a Hornet, Miami. Played overseas as well. Now the president and commissioner of the Big Three, taking time. Roger, first of all, you guys are a little bit past the halfway point of the season. How has it exceeded your expectations? I mean, how would you size up how it's gone so far?
Well, so far it's been great. You know, I think, you know, we wanted to measure this season not only by the basketball players and their experience in the league, but also the fans and the way the fans could actually enjoy these games in person and on television. And I think we've delivered a great product, and it's only going to go up from here.
So this week you had news with Allen Iverson being was not in attendance down in Dallas. You expected him to be there. What's the latest with Allen?
Well, we're still investigating and getting all the facts to find out what went on with Allen. As you mentioned, we were expecting him to be there, and so yeah, at this point, you know, we're gathering information and we'll make a decision as a league momentarily.
I've been paying close attention. You guys were in Chicago a couple weeks back, and we've talked to a bunch of your players, and I've seen where when the league started, you had, you know, big time targets out there. You want to get Kobe involved, and people, of course, are just reaching out to you all the time. Hey, can you get Michael to play? Can you get Shaq or whoever? How do you balance like getting the superstar out there versus just having, you know, pure competitive basketball? Like, what do you guys, like, what's the bigger focal point? Do you want to, you know, get the big names out there and not worry about the product? Or, you know, how do you balance all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're a professional sports league. And so most leagues are driven by star players. And so a lot of fans want to see those guys. And certainly we think that at this point we're going to attract even more star players next year. As a lot of them see what this is. You know, I think early on there were questions about how competitive is it? Is it a real league? I think all those questions have been answered. And so our expectation is next year we'll have even more star power. And still, you know, to make good teams, you still need, you know, great role players as well. And I think we're going to attract both.
So you guys have gotten great crowds. I mean, as far as the finances of the league, what would you say there? Are you making more money than you thought you would? You've got, obviously, your, you know, Fox Sports is covering the games too, showing them on TV. How about that side of it?
Well, I think our ratings from a television standpoint are higher than what anybody would have imagined. Certainly, you know, there were some cities that thought we'd sell a couple thousand tickets, and you know, we've got a couple cities where we've done over 15,000. So I think we've over-delivered, but, you know, our expectation for this league is high. We want to shoot to do even better week in, week out. And, you know, we think from a profitability standpoint, you know, the league is in great shape, and as we move forward, it'll continue to be that way.
Seen a lot of people, and I think it makes sense, asking, hey, you know, when you're in, you guys are, you know, you're going to be in Kentucky, so why not have, you know, bust out an old Wildcat to come on out and play? Or if you're in LA, have a Laker or a Clipper, Seattle, the same thing, you know, upcoming dates for you guys. Have you thought about that? Like, you won't necessarily be on, I'm sure you've thought about it, but you won't necessarily be on a roster, but you will be splashed onto one team that weekend, a local guy who the fans in that city would love to see.
You know, I really don't like that at all. You know, I feel like that's gimmicky, and I don't think that is fair to the guys that have put in work really preparing for the season. So I did see a couple of articles that are speaking about that, but to me, you know, I like the fact that a player, you know, is with his team for the season. They have training camp together. They work hard as a team, and you know, they really gel together from a chemistry standpoint. I think to touch on what you're talking about, you know, it'd be great that during the draft, you know, to have some of those guys that are going to be that will, you know, from the cities that we play in. That will be a part of those teams. So for Kentucky, for example, if in the combine next year, we've got Tayshaun Prince or Keith Bogan or some of these other former Kentucky guys that are trying to get drafted, I think we can kind of get it done that way. But I don't really like the idea of just kind of mixing and matching based on where you're playing.
You got any desire to lace them up yourself?
One thing that I think this has shown, this league, Yeah, you got to put in the time, and you got to have some gas in the tank. And for me, I think I got gas in the tank, but all of my time is spent trying to grow the business and doing the business side. So if I went out there, it'd be an embarrassment, and it wouldn't be good for anybody.
I watched the video with Steven Jackson and Charles Oakley, and Steven's mad that Oak took him out of the game, and Oak took him out because he was yelling at the officials and he wouldn't let it go. And then Steven threatens that, you know, he's going to check himself back in, and he's like, well, and Oak says, well, you're going to have to walk right through me. And so basically, you know, you got two guys who you wouldn't think would care to the level that they're caring, are caring a whole lot. And of course, you know, there's a lot of respect between the two, so it never escalated past that. But I thought that was just a great sign that guys really want to win, and coaches are coaching in whatever way you want to call it.
Yeah, this was something that, you know, didn't surprise me at all, but I think, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of people were surprised by how competitive this league is. Look, one thing I know as a former NBA player is you throw a ball up and you have a real league, real competitiveness is going to come out. And so I think that's what you're seeing. You know, I actually enjoyed seeing that exchange as well, just knowing both of those two guys, they're both winners, they both want to win and are competitive, and it was good to see. And that's what we want to unlock with our league. You know, we want to unlock some of the behind the scenes that happens in games that you wouldn't typically see. Former player, we've seen these 3-on-3 battles our whole careers, because in practice, 3-on-3 basketball is what we play the majority of the time. So we've been seeing it, and now it's really cool to have fans get to see these 3-on-3 battles as well.
Have you had any conversations with Michael Jordan?
I haven't directly, but we have been in touch through mutual friends.
Okay. Because, you know, guys want to challenge him all the time, and he's beating Michael Kidd-Gilchrist one-on-one, and I guess LeVar Ball now knows that Mike thinks he can beat him with one leg. By the way, do you think he could beat LeVar Ball with one leg? Because I think he could. One leg Jordan, right?
Jordan could beat LeVar Ball with any leg. Flat out.
Yeah. I mean... And then what has Kobe said? I mean, these I would think they'd want to come out and play. I mean, you know, it's you always have the love of the game in you, right? That's never going to leave.
Yeah, well, look, you can only play this game for so long. And even in a half-court setting, you know, you only have a certain amount of time that you can play. And so someone like Kobe, who's one of the greatest of all time, and he's proven everything he can prove, it's just about having fun for him. You know, he's got plenty of money. You know, he's done everything you could possibly do in basketball, but if he still has that itch next year, I think we're the league for him, because we can still bring that competitiveness out, and he can still be a great, great player in our league.
For those who don't get the pay structure, are these guys getting a salary, Roger, or is it just if you win the league, then you get paid? How does that all work?
Yeah, so all kind of get a salary, and so every player that's playing is being compensated, but we do give a little twist. Based on where you finish at the end of the season is where you get a revenue split, revenue share. So if you win the league, you get 30% of the player share. And if you're in last place, you get 2.5% and everything in between. So all the games are competitive. Even when you don't make the playoffs, you're still playing for something pretty significant. And so we think that model has helped to encourage competitive play throughout.
Who gets the credit for the four-point circle? Everyone's loving that. I'm loving that. Is that you, Roger?
No, you got to give Ice Cube the credit for that. Okay. You know, that was Cube's brainchild, and he thought that that would be an exciting play to add. And I'll tell you, it's been a hit. Players love it. Some of the announcers are calling it Curryland, but it's been a lot of fun to see the guys have range and be rewarded for it during the game.
Did you know Cube before this all went down? I mean, how did that partnership between you being in the league and being the commissioner and Cube, all the, how did that work?
Well, you know, great. Cube's longtime business partner and manager, Jeff Quadness, is someone that I've grown to know in business, and we've done some things together. And so I think with my experience, both as a player and then as an executive with the Players Association, they approached me about this, and Jeff and I had spoken about 3-on-3 basketball in the past. And, you know, I thought it was great. I thought the format and a traveling league was something that wasn't too ambitious, but something that we could pull off. And obviously my relationships with the players and understanding the business, being on the competition committee at the NBA, served me well. So when they approached me about it, you know, I was all in, and I was very thankful for both of those guys bringing me in to be a part of the ownership group and management.
Yeah, that's awesome. Looking back on your playing career, Roger, you played for, you know, I listed them before, but, you know, the Bulls, the Raptors, the Wizards, the Spurs, the Knicks, the Hornets, the Heat. And you had, you know, greater success, obviously, when you got later in your career. Is there any spot that you hold near and dear to your heart more than others?
There's a few. You know, first of all, playing for my hometown, Washington Wizards. I played the most years there, three, and that was a thrill to be able to have friends and family there, and I had a breakout season there. Being a starter for the Spurs, and I had one season that I led the NBA in game-winning shots, so that was a special year for me. And then finishing up my career in Miami with Pat Riley and Spoelstra and playing on a championship-caliber team. Those are three of the big highlights, but greatest thing about playing for so many teams is I've been able to see the good organizations and the way they run and some of the ones that aren't as successful. And it's really helped me as I've moved along in business and understanding, you know, the characteristics of good culture and great organizations like the Spurs and Heat.
So, yeah, if you're going to give the Cliff Note version as to why an organization like San Antonio has been so successful for so long outside, I mean, they've had some great players, but there obviously is a culture there that they figured out that some teams have not exactly mastered. What would you say is, like, underneath all that?
Well, I think the thing that resonates about the Spurs organization is their culture. And it's literally from the top down. I mean, from the owners and Pop and R.C. Buford all the way down to the last person in the organization. And they hold everybody accountable, right? They treat everyone with respect, but accountability is number one. And so you have Coach Popovich screaming at the top of his lungs at Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. And so the other guys fall in line. And, you know, if something's not right with the owner, you know, Pop will call the owner out in front of the players. And he'll get caught out. So, I mean, it's a culture of accountability. It's class. It's high character people. And those are the type of people that the Spurs seek from. And I think, you know, the Miami Heat, very similar in the way that they treat their culture and how important the type of personalities and people that they bring into the organization. So those two are model franchises, in my opinion, from the 7 or 8 that I played for. And it's no surprise why they've had so much success.
You got a Pat Riley story?
There's many Pat Riley stories. You know, I think with Pat, by the time I had gotten there, they had already won 2 championships. I might have missed some of the great ones, but I do know him as a motivator. There's none like him, and he knows how to push the right buttons. And, you know, we try to keep those stories close to the chest, but Pat Riley certainly has been one of the bigger motivators I've ever come across.
Okay. Who, give me the hardest guy that you ever went against consistently in practice. Who was always ready to go practice-wise and, you know, it was kind of, you knew that if you didn't show up, it was going to be a problem?
Well, you know, this guy, I would say right away, is Bruce Bowen. Because not necessarily the most talented offensive player, but I knew that, one, I was going to be running around defensively guarding him, but when I got the ball, you know, he was trying to make my life a living hell in practice. And so you knew that if you didn't bring it, you know, he'd embarrass you defensively. So I'd have to say it's Bruce. I think from an all around standpoint, you know, matching up against D-Wade and LeBron in practice every day was a nightmare. So it doesn't get any tougher than that.
And, okay, I'm just curious about the LeBron thing. Like, is – people say he's a great teammate, but then you also see him berating guys. You, by the way, most stars all did that Magic, Bird, Michael. They're so driven that that's going to come out. How would you describe LeBron as a teammate?
You know, I tell people all the time, LeBron was one of my top 2 teammates of all time, him and Tim Duncan. And, you know, aside from the fact the guy has a heart of gold and does anything for his teammates, he really understands the pace of a season. He understands the cycle of the players. And you know, what I watched him do with our team in the Heat and how he treated everyone and how he was as a leader, kind of showing the way, I just have a lot of respect for. So I'd have to say, you know, LeBron's probably one of the best teammates I've ever had.
And just jumping off from there to Duncan, like, how do you compare the two? What was Timmy like?
Well, Tim had a different kind of approach. You know, he's not as kind of is not as loud and outgoing as LeBron is. He's more of a show you. He's the type of guy when he speaks, you listen. And he allows himself to be coached. I think that's Tim Duncan's greatest quality as a teammate, is he allowed Popovich to coach him. And that really had the team buy in a way that, you know, a lot of teams and a lot of superstars don't quite get. And so, you know, aside from the fact that we know Tim and Pop had their own relationship and they spent time together, it didn't excuse Pop from getting on him. And Tim allowing that to happen allowed the team to get better and eventually win all the championships that they've won.
Were you scared of Pop? I feel like if I was playing, I'd be scared of Pop.
I mean, when I first signed with the Spurs, it's my first time as a starter, and you're with guys who've won championships and a coach who's no nonsense. Yeah, I'm not afraid to say I was a little afraid of Pop early on. But you get used to it. You get used to him cutting you out, and you want to play hard for him. And when you look back, you say, sheesh, you know, that by far was the best coach I've ever had.
Wow. Roger Mason Jr., now, of course, with the Big Three, and you got your championship game coming up in August here, August 26th in Vegas, and you're going to be looking smooth with the JCPenney outfit here, Roger.
That's right. That's right. I'm excited about our partnership, Big Three, with JCPenney, and a good friend of mine is Michael Strahan, and so I knew if Strahan is stepping these suits, then it must be okay, and I'm excited to be rocking some JCPenney at the championship.
Roger, appreciate the time, and congrats on the success of the Big Three. I think basketball fans, for sure, myself included, have been enjoying it a ton, and we're looking forward to seeing how it develops over the years here. You're off to a great start.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks for having me.